big question. It's a difficult one. Yes, I'm trying to think.
That's a good question.
That's a good question. Funny that we're all quiet on that question.
Maybe the blog.
I agree with your point that the impact on mental health and all these things.
My name is Indika Avalingam.
Deepa Joshi. Isabella Kajal.
Maria Seidel.
My name is Felix Thiel.
Giriraj Amarnath.
Kashi Kafli.
Sanjeev Silva.
And I'm Francesca Billington. Hello and welcome to Out of Office, a new podcast series where researchers answer the big questions about their careers and the topics that guide them. In this first episode, we're talking about gender, inclusion, and representation. March 8th is International Women's Day. It's an opportunity for us to celebrate the progress we've made for gender equality and to think about how far we have to go. At first, the plan was to ask four prominent women here at the International Water Management Institute about their experiences working in science and development. But we wanted to include everyone in the conversation this year because it's important that we're all thinking about these questions. So today, we're also hearing from male colleagues. Two sessions, two pots of coffee, the same list of questions. Stay with us.
So back to your point.
So what do you think about?
Are we doing enough?
I mean, are we doing enough?
Okay, I'll read it out loud.
Okay, so.
I mean, maybe I'll start. I'd say it's very important.
So here's how things went. We placed a stack of note cards in the middle of each group. Remember, the conversations you're about to hear come from two separate sessions. And then we asked participants to take turns reading the questions aloud to their colleagues.
Can you tell us about a time when you felt that your gender was impacting your job, either as an asset or a limitation?
Definitely the context in which you do field work, for example, can have a significant relationship to your gender.
When I'm doing field work and I'm talking to women, it sometimes helps that you are a woman yourself, because I think there's a sense of solidarity which helps you have more uninhibited conversations.
Perhaps the clearest example of that was working in Bangladesh, which has quite stringent gender norms in terms of what men and women can and can't do, who they can speak to, how they speak to people. To some extent, it was a challenge to converse with women of any age without providing a space where women felt comfortable to express their own views.
As a limitation, I feel like being Sri Lankan, being a woman, being a more recent entrant to the field, I feel like I'm at the intersection of these different identities of being a woman, of being from a different part of the world, of being young, which can, I think, sometimes influence how I'm perceived and how my work is perceived. And at a given situation, it's hard to tell which of these identities is contributing to it, or combination of identities.
I'll never forget one of the first job interviews I went to as a 23-year-old, and I was asked, well, you're a woman. What would happen if your Land Rover broke down in the middle of the African bush? What would you do? And I just said, I'd get out and fix it, or I'd find someone to fix it for me. And that was a very long time ago, but that was really striking to me. I didn't get the job. maybe I was displaying too many masculine behaviours.
This was some time back when I was doing my master's, and a few days before my thesis defence, I was talking to someone I had not met at all till that point. I told him that I was nervous about my defence, and then he said, you're a woman from a developing country, I'm sure they'll be lenient with you. And then I'm sure he was being kind, but what he was trying to say was that because I'm less capable of producing and defending a good thesis because of these circumstances.
Have you struggled with your own biases about women in science? Can you tell us about your progression on that?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. I should confess that I haven't really thought about my own biases.
Mm. As a privileged group, you often
don't even
realize that you are, right?
Yeah.
And that makes it very difficult in that sense.
Yeah.
So back to this, do you have any bias?
I think I have a lot, maybe because that's what I mean. I'm in the agricultural sector. I'm a scientist in the agricultural sector. Mm-hmm. This is traditionally a very male-dominated role, so most probably you don't even realize how strong this is.
Yeah. Before moving to the U.S., for my master's degree, I never had a female teacher in my life, not in school, not in college, nowhere. I think I started that with a bias that, I mean, a professor is a male or scientist is a male. It is unknowingly that's, I mean, because that's what the society, I'm the product of the society I grew up in, right? So I grew up in a family where no only woman was my mother. We have no like female siblings or four brothers. And then all guys, I mean, I always interact with men's world. And so that kind of changed when I went to the U.S. And then the same month I reached there, so I walked in the hospital and the nurse is a male. Mm-hmm. Right? So that also, like, struck me. Like, okay, come on, I mean, nurse is, by definition, a female to my mind, right? So these kind of things, where I was 10 years ago and now today is I think, I can see a lot of things changed within me and also in the field of science. I mean, it's progression is slow, and it will come there. That I wanted to just mention here.
That was just an excerpt from the full episode. Check back in to WLE's website to hear the rest soon. This podcast is a project from Thrive, a platform facilitated by the CGIAR Research Program on Water, Land, and Ecosystems. Special thanks to Dominique Pereira and Bryce Gallant.